This is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. On the evening of Friday, September 8th, a fire was started outside of the Church of the Holy Trinity. No one was harmed in the fire. Maggie's Sex Worker Justice Organization moved in from the second and third floor of the building. The offices were affected by the fire and are now currently closed. I spoke to Ellie Adekur, the executive director at Maggie's, regarding how the fire has affected the organization itself. To start off, would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. So my name is Ellie Adekur. I'm the executive director at Maggie's Toronto Sex Workers Action Project.
And so on Friday evening last week, there was a fire outside of your offices. So what exactly happened? Do you know?
So we're still kind of learning more information each day. But from what we know, late on Friday, September 8th, a fire was set right outside of our office space. And so Toronto Fire Services were called, thankfully, by a passerby, and they were able to respond really just in time. Like, they told us after the fact that if they'd come like 15 minutes later, even, we likely would have lost this building. But the fire itself actually made its way up to even three floors. We read the second and third floor. It made its way all the way up to the top of the building and got right inside. And so we've seen significant structural damage, damage to our program supplies, our furniture, and everything like that on site. So it's been really difficult.
When did you find out about the fire?
I found out about the fire at 12:30 a.m. on Saturday morning.
And what was going through your head when you first found out about it?
I mean, I think initially just what was going through my head was shock. I was in constant communication with a lot of the church staff who were on site with Toronto Fire Services, kind of reflecting on what was going on. One of the important things too is that we share space with Holy Trinity. And so the building we're in, it's a heritage building. It was built in the mid-1800s. And so we're talking about an old build. There's lots of wood. So as soon as a fire gets in, into some of the main staircases, into the walls and things, like it spreads very, very quickly.
And just before we continue along with that, so what exactly is Maggie's?
Maggie's is one of Canada's oldest sex worker justice organizations. And so we run and supports for people in our community who sell, exchange sexual services. So everything from street-based workers who work outdoors and on Toronto strolls to cam models, exotic dancers, massage workers. We offer everything from regular drop-in programming, street outreach, harm reduction supplies, as well as things like therapy, legal advocacy. And we just expanded very, very recently, actually, to start offering long-term case management programming, which is really exciting. It's actually one of the first programs of its kind at an organization like ours in North America. So we're really proud of that kind of work. And a lot of that has been quite devastated by this fire.
And how long has Maggie's been around?
We were founded in 1986 in Toronto's downtown East End. And so we've kind of seen this gradual growth of the organization over the last 35 years or so.
And with this fire, how detrimental has it been to Maggie's?
Oh, it's really difficult. Like, we're still in the midst of calculating like the total damages, but frankly, right now our best estimates with the church, we share space with them, we put it somewhere around like $500,000 when we're talking about like the structural damages, the damages to the electrical system, some of the smoke damage, and replacing a lot of the furniture, program supplies that if they weren't damaged directly by fire, they've been damaged now in the aftermath through like smoke and ash and some of the soot.
And I assume the water as well, that kind of helped put the fire out.
Yeah, absolutely thankful to Toronto Fire Services for responding super quickly and putting out this fire before we lost the entire building. It's just one of the unfortunate sort of like realities of the fact that when you're putting out a fire in a heritage building and we have an electrical system throughout, like the water can compromise that. But we're happy to work. We both have insurance. We're working to be able to like clean some of that up through the partial coverage we have. But the reality is like $500,000 is a significant amount for an organization like ours. And so we are going to be relying on fundraised dollars to the best of our ability to be able to make the changes and repairs.
So with two floors rented out and about $500,000 in damages, how many people work at Maggie's?
At Maggie's, we have a staff team of 10. And across our programs and services on a monthly basis, we're reaching anywhere from 800 to over 1,000 sex workers through things like street outreach, our drop-in programming, workshops, legal advocacy, and things like that. So we're a small team, but we serve quite a few people in community, and we are one of the only sex worker organizations in Toronto's downtown core, our city.
So with the loss of these offices, what exactly are the team at Maggie's doing now, or where are they congregating?
Yeah, so we had the staff at Maggie's, we had our first org-wide meeting the other day, just to sort of talk through exactly what's happened, what people can expect in terms of the recovery plan and how we plan to rebuild, because we do plan to rebuild. But I think across the board, like, people are devastated. People are heartbroken. Like, our programming, we do buy and for programming for sex workers and community. And so this isn't just nonprofit staff with no experience serving this particular community kind of parachuting in. Like, the programming and services that this team has built across all of our programs are deeply embedded in these communities. Like, we're talking about our friends and our family here. And so there really is a sense of loss and a sense of heartbreak. And so for the next few weeks, the staff are going to be taking some time off just to be able to grieve and really process what's happened here. And we're hoping to be able to fundraise enough to build it back bigger and better than what it was before.
And with the loss of these offices, who is affected?
In terms of our work, our programming and services, I mean, obviously our staff don't have a space to work out of. Our drop-in programming is shut down. Our case management programming can't operate. So we're not able to see clients coming in for things like therapy anymore. A lot of our educational programming and workshops are just having to be completely canceled at this point. And of course, we're hoping to pivot to offer virtual programming at some point, potentially some temporary space until we can get back up on our feet. But the reality is, beyond the programs and services at Maggie's, it's so important for a sex worker organization like ours to have our own space, because the reality is that sex workers in Toronto, you can be kicked out of a shelter, you can be kicked out of a drop-in program, you get kicked out of food banks simply for being a sex worker because of the criminalization, because of the stigma. And so beyond just our regular programming, Maggie's was a safe haven. It was a refuge for people that were being pushed out of every other area of our city's social service sector.
For you, what's been the hardest part about this fire and losing that space?
I think there are so many things that come to mind on my end. We recently actually reopened, and we've actually recently moved into the building with Holy Trinity in March of this year. And even that move in and of itself, it marked this massive expansion. We've gone from a space that was much smaller, that couldn't fit our staff team, it couldn't fit our vision or our programming, to a space here that is something like three times the size of what we have. And then in April through May, we shut down for 5 weeks to renovate, to redecorate, and really build a space that felt beautiful for community to come into. And we launched that in June. And so to lose all of that, I think, is quite difficult. And I think I also just sort of feel this sense of responsibility and commitment, not only to the incredible staff team at this organization, but to the community members who were so excited to have a space for sex workers to be able to come together and simply exist without the stigma, the discrimination. And so I'm really thinking about rebuilding and showing up for our team and for our community as best we can through this.
And in the next few months, what are your hopes? Like, what is the future of Maggie's?
I think going through something like this, and one of the things I was saying on our team call the other day is, like, this is a traumatic loss for so many of us that have invested so much in this organization and in this space. And so that can be quite difficult. But I think overall, you know, Maggie's is part of a much larger movement for sex worker justice and sex worker rights that, not even just in Toronto or provincially, but like across Canada, across North America, globally, has had to be able to rebuild and to be creative and to innovate. Because the reality is, when you work with a community that is so heavily criminalized, that faces so much discrimination, this is part and parcel of what it means to be doing that work. And so we're ready to rebuild. And I just, my hope for Maggie's is that we're able to build back bigger and better than what we were before. And I know we can do that. I believe in the team of people we have here. with my whole heart. I really do.
So that's all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Yeah, actually, the Maggies and Holy Trinity, we've come together to launch a joint fundraiser, an emergency relief, disaster relief fund, to be able to help cover some of the costs of rebuilding and addressing some of the structural damage to the site, replacing some of our program supplies. And so we'd really just love for people to be able to donate to that through GoFundMe and to follow our work and check out the incredible community work that our staff are doing through our site and through our social media channels.
I also spoke to Jane Hayes, the program director at Maggie's, about how with the offices now being closed and programs canceled, how that will affect the over 800 sex workers a month who use their services. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, my name is Jenna Hines. My pronouns are they, them, just so you know. I work for Maggie's Toronto Sex Worker Action Project. I am program manager there. I run the case management program specifically for sex workers. I also run our parenting and drop-in program.
And how long have you been working at Maggie's in those roles?
Well, I've been working at Maggie's for just about 3 years. And I've been in the case management role it was a year in June, actually, for both roles.
And with that, the offices are now currently closed. What does that mean for the programs exactly?
It means that we're not able to create the safe havens and the safe spaces, for sex workers to bring their issues and their needs and their concerns and their hopes to us. You know, we have caseworkers that are diligently working, you know, face to face with Toronto sex workers to provide like direct services and legal supports and accompaniments and, you know, medical accompaniments and things like that. But, you know, we no longer have a space for them to come, a confidential, safe space for them to come, you know, and talk about their issues, bring their caseloads forward. We don't have our space for our sex worker parents to come together and, you know, discuss work, discuss childbearing, discuss any kind of like even mundane life details without fear, you know, of having their children potentially taken away, you know, over disclosure of sex work. It's, you know, we aren't able to be feeding the folks that we're feeding. You know, we run monthly clinics that, you know, provide STBBI and HIV testing and, you know, vaccines for Hep A, vaccines for COVID, monkeypox, et cetera, that we run through our parenting program. And we are no longer able to offer those. You know, we also are no longer able to offer our monthly clinics that provide, you know, referrals and prescriptions and things like that as well. So, you know, it's a pretty devastating blow, you know, not just to not myself and you know, our Maggie sort of colleagues and family, but to, I would say, sex workers as a whole in Toronto right now. You know, I'm having a hard time collecting my words because it's upsetting. You know, we've lost a space that we worked really hard to create safety within, and a space that doesn't exist anywhere else in Toronto or, you know, Ontario, as far as I know.
How many programs are there at Maggie's?
Gosh, let me think about that. So I run the like most face-to-face, like regular running programs. So that would be the parenting program, our drop-in program, and again, our case management program, which is the first of its kind in North America, which is pretty exciting. And then we also have like our HIV like education and resource like programs, I suppose, but that's not like a set program. That's like a lot of educational workshops that are given, a lot of different events that are put on. We're involved in the ballroom scene and things like that. So, I mean, we do a lot of programming, but dedicated programs, I would say that the three that I run are the main ones. And then everything else is like just a lot of other like extra wonderful, like offshoot work.
And how many people come in a month for these programs?
We run a lot of different programming. Like my colleague Tamar Carter, she runs, you know, movie nights for BIPOC sex workers, and she runs, you know, mini balls and Vogue balls and things like that. And my colleague Michael Birch runs, you know, workshops himself and educational things that are, you know, both fun and I guess like knowledgeable, I suppose. And I mean, we've got our outreach team that also runs programming like kit making and, you know, sort of like just kind of hangout discussion stuff in our spaces too. So you're looking at like 1,000 a month. You know, we've got a lot of folks that are now missing out on a lot of things.
When it comes to these programs, who is affected by the loss of them?
I mean, we're talking about the most marginalized people in the city right now. You know, it's like our street facing sex workers, you know, our racialized sex workers, our underhouse sex workers, our, you know, single parent sex workers, our chronically ill and disabled sex workers, our indigenous sex workers. It's, you know, our Black sex workers. Like this is who is missing out the most. It's the people that need us the most. It's I don't want to use the word dire. You you know, but it is creating a really large sense of urgency and, you know, inside of me specifically, because there's this vacuous sort of space where really urgent and really important services are not being provided now.
What does losing this space mean to Toronto sex workers?
Oh, I mean, sex workers aren't a monolith, so I can't speak for all of us, but I will say that, you know, we've been hearing that it's a really devastating blow to a large, like a number of our community members. You know, the feedback we're getting is that people are just completely saddened, you know, and I think that they have every right to be. Again, this is like one of the only, if not the only space where sex workers can feel free to just be completely themselves, you know, and have no fear of judgment, no fear of stigma, no fear of discrimination, no fear of retaliation, no fear of, you know, policing, no fear of, you know, any kind of punitive or carceral action, you know, no fear of abuse. I don't know. I mean, I know that it's just a building, but it's not just a building. I think it's so much more than that. You know, it's a sort of a representation of like what we want the world to be like all of the time for us, and that it just isn't, you know? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like getting a little teary eyed right now. It's been a sad few days, you know? Yeah.
Please take your time. If you need a minute, we can take a couple of minutes and you can, you know, take some time and collect yourself.
I'm okay. I'm all right. I think it's good to feel it, you know.
My understanding is that this fire started fairly late in the evening on Friday. Where were you when you found out?
I was actually in my home. I just recovered from COVID. So I was not working in this space that week. And it was kind of surreal. You know, I got the email when I was in my bed and I was still coming out of that COVID like brain fog. Yeah, I kind of thought I dreamed it. I dreamt it actually when I woke up the next morning. Yeah, it was very surreal. You know, yeah, I'm glad that no one was in the space when it happened. I'm glad that everyone was safe. But it was definitely a shock, and definitely like I kind of had to like triple check the email before I could register that it actually happened.
What was going through your mind when it finally clicked and it registered for you?
I mean, what was going through my mind was immediately to see if my workers were okay. You know, I have incredible staff that work incredibly hard, you know, to serve sex workers in Toronto and the GTA. And, you know, they are dedicated and they're caring and they're compassionate. And, you know, my first thought was like, are they all right? And then, you know, also all of the other program managers and our incredible executive director and our board as well. You know, it's hard to think about jumping into action for me, like unless I can make sure that everybody's feeling at least okay, you know, and can kind of communicate with each other. So that was my first thought.
Now, this fire was fairly recent, but mm-hmm. Are there any plans to potentially turn some of these programs or initiatives online and make it online programming?
I mean, online is definitely an option. We do offer some of our case management services virtually. You know, there are folks that can't, for whatever reason, make it into our space. So we will, you know, continue to do that. My preference, however, is to find a solution, you know, so that we can continue as soon as possible to be delivering in-person services. You know, I mean, I'm sure that you know as well, like COVID is, you know, the pandemic has just been so isolating, and being able to come back to, you know, full in-person service was so important and so tantamount to like providing like community, right? So I'm hoping that we can very quickly find a solution to be able to do that again, you know, and we have a lot of services that are necessary to be in person, you know, so we can't feed people online, you know, we can't provide vaccines online. We can't, you know, provide a lot of the other things that we do every day for sex workers online. So, you know, we will be offering things virtually. Absolutely. That's always an option when we can, but I'm really hoping that we can, you know, figure out a temporary solution until we can get back into our beautiful space.
So what is the future of the programs at Maggie?
Oh gosh. That's a great question. You know, I kind of like have this big dream that, you know, we can continue to expand our case management program and our parenting programs in order to be able to offer like so much more to sex workers and so much more that we absolutely need. You know, like looking at case management, I'd love to be able to have more workers. I'd love to be able to give them more hours so we can provide, you know, a lot more in-person, face-to-face, like medical accompaniments, like court support, like CAS navigation, like all of that kind of thing. You know, and also like we're looking at providing expansion in terms of like group therapy through our parenting program and our drop-in. We're looking at, you know, my big dream would be to have educational services for children, you know, and like have daycare and have a lot more family supports like that too, you know, like navigating systems as a sex worker and as a parent is like almost impossible when you're looking at, you know, trying to live a life that, you know, isn't negatively affected by discrimination, you know. So honestly, like the dream is big, but we're talking about it and we're moving forward. So that's kind of where we're at with our programs there.
That's actually all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
I mean, you know, I just want to say that I really appreciate the support that, you know, my coworkers, my staff, our executive director has, you know, been giving us, giving each other, giving me, you know, even while we're going through this tragedy, you know. And I just want to say that we're sex workers and we're resilient and we're going to come back, you know. Like this is by no means a small incident. It's by no means something that we should be brushing like sort of aside and laughing off. It's very serious. It's very sad. It's very traumatic, but you know, we're going to rebuild and that's it, you know. And I'm happy to say that, you know, we've been around since 1986 and we're not going anywhere. You know, we're here to support the sex workers of Toronto for, you know, the indefinite future.